Thank you, brother. Appreciate it very much. And I'm the new kid on the block, and knowing that, it is a blessing and an honor to have the privilege of walking through God's spoken word to his people. It's a weighty privilege, and so I don't take it lightly, and I appreciate the opportunity. Tonight, the topic is prayer. Right, and I have quite a simple goal for tonight. I want to, just laying it out there right at the get-go for us, I want to reignite our passion, and maybe your passion is already just flaming, and maybe others are just a warm coal, right? And wherever you are on that spectrum, I just want to see all of our passion and belief in the power of prayer to be evident by the end of this service, that we would be prayerful walking out those doors. So that's it's a simple goal. It's a hard task, right, to get into God's Word and see that. But I want us to believe that prayer truly matters, both the small prayers that we just pray throughout the day and the big prayers that are really life and death prayers that really life really does hang on those prayers. I want us to believe that all of those, they matter. They matter. No matter what you're praying about, big life ordeals or just, God, thank you for this day. Those matter. All of them matter. And I just want to reignite and kindle the flame that is our belief that all of those matter. That's my goal for tonight. And then I want to just, for a brief minute, I don't want to rush us out of here, that we would miss the opportunity of putting that to practice. And so I want to give just us a few minutes here at the end to spend some time in prayer, exercising that now kindled belief and passion. The Word of God is really what sparks the heart, right? The Word of God is what pierces it and sparks the heart. And so what better place to go to than the Word of God to see the significance of prayer? The Bible talks a lot about prayer and makes it clear that it is so important. All the way from Genesis chapter 4, that's how early we see that people were calling out to the Lord. Not long after the fall do we realize, wow, we need to have communion with God. Genesis 4. Throughout the rest of the Bible, you see over 600 prayers in the Bible, 25 of which Jesus himself models. I think that says something to us. It's so important that in the epistles, we see that Paul says, even when we have no words, God doesn't want our prayers to stop, and so the Holy Spirit then intervenes and prays them for us, because that's how essential it is that prayers would continue to go up. Even when we don't have the words, God says, this can't stop. That's how important prayer is. The Bible also uses intriguing language to describe prayer. It uses interesting imagery. Curious imagery, I would really say. In Revelation, I think many of you might be familiar with it, Revelation 5:8, we see that it's likened to incense. It says the four living creatures, this is Revelation 5:8, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And so we can see in Scripture that God is saying, your prayers are like incense. So this is my structure for tonight. We're going to go quickly through it. This won't be a typical prayer sermon, I don't think, actually. It's kind of unique and strange, but trust me as we walk through it. We're not going to walk through the Lord's Prayer or something like that that might be more typical. I'm going to do something a little unique. Walk with me through it. I want to look at the different ways that incense is used in the Old Testament worship of God's people. If our prayers are likened to incense, as we can see in Revelation 5, they are, I want us to go back to the Old Testament then and say, okay, how are incense used in the Israelite worship to God? And then from looking at that, since our prayers are like that, may we see what that says about our prayer life. Okay, that's where we're going tonight. So how is incense used in the Old Testament worship? Well, incense was used in everyday worship. That's the first thing we see when we go to the Old Testament. If you go to Exodus chapter 30, you can see in verse 1, and we'll get to the rest in just a minute, but let's look at verse 1 here. This is what God's word says to his people. You shall make an altar on which to burn incense. you shall make it of acacia wood. Okay, so this is just this type of wood, and they're making this altar to burn incense on. Now, I want us to note a little bit about the tabernacle. Okay, so this will actually give us a lot of context in order to understand something about our prayers, actually. So if you were to imagine this stage as the holy place in the tabernacle, the front, you walk through the front entryway, and this stage, okay, let's say, is the holy place. And then beyond the holy place, let's say the baptismal, okay, is the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant is, and the mercy seat of God on top of that. That's in the Holy of Holies, and that's only to be entered one time every year, the Day of Atonement. But this area, the front part of the tabernacle, that was used every single day. And that's where, along with the lampstands and the table with the bread, that's where that stuff was, right in this area where the priests would enter every single day. But they wouldn't go further, right? Except for that one day. That's where the altar of incense was right here in this room. And so he continues on verses 2 through 6 saying, you will make it this many cubits from this many cubits, right? We'll skip that part. And not because it's not important, but just to get to the point that we're looking at here. In verse 7, if we go fast forward to that, it says, and Aaron shall burn fragrance incense on it. Every morning, when he dresses the lamps, he shall burn it. Every day, when he comes in here, every day he shall burn it. And when Aaron sets up the lamps at twilight, he shall burn it. A regular incense offering, but for the Lord, throughout your generations. And so we can see here that there was a continuation. Every morning, the priest would come in, and he'd burn the incense. Every evening at twilight, he'd come in and he'd burn the incense to where there was always a constant scent going up that was pleasing to God. All the time, day and night, it wouldn't stop. And David uses this imagery in the Psalms, actually, to describe our continued prayer before God. If you go to Psalm 141, verse 1, this is where the common verse is. O Lord, he says, I call upon you. Hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you. And the lifting up of my hands is the evening sacrifice. David's prayers were like the incense of worship in the tabernacle, constantly going up to God. And he was adding to it multiple times a day. In the morning, he would add to it. In the evening, he would add to it, that it would constantly be going up to God as a beautiful fragrance to God. So what does this firstly say about you and I? And in our prayer life, well, I'd say that the daily use of incense or the regular use of incense teaches us that everyday prayers have great significance. A continual going up to God. Never stopping. The everyday prayers, those matter. I'm not talking about the prayers that move mountains. We can get to that in a minute. I'm not talking about the prayers that are life and death and they're special occasions when you get that terrible phone call once in a great while. I'm not talking about those prayers. Those prayers matter, and we'll get to that in a minute. But I'm talking about the continual prayers, the ones that are every day, that are considered mundane and regular. Those have great significance. Because this is what is our continual worship before God. This is what links us to Him as we commune with Him. Those, though they may feel insignificant and mundane, I just want to encourage you, Christian, they are not insignificant. They are so significant. Because that is what connects us regularly to our God, our Lord and Savior. I think about in my own life with my incredible bride, Sarah. We try to make prayer a regular part of our own marriage, right? And so before I go off to work, we'll sit down and we'll just hold hands. And it's not like we're making this big show of it or something like that to one another. We just hold hands and can we just pray before the day starts? And it's a minute, right? A minute, maybe a minute and a half, two minutes. But that's special. And it might feel insignificant after you start going through the motions. You might feel like, oh, this is just routine. There's no substance here. We're just doing it to do it. There is value in the continued prayer of God's people, though how mundane it might feel at times. We pray before bed. We pray before meals. We pray at devotional time together. We pray individually and together. We pray. And there's so much to pray about when it comes to our daily prayers. They don't have to be the big prayers. They can be just saying, God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what the scriptures say about you. I praise you for the description that I see of such a great and loving God and your word. I thank you for that because I know that's who you are. I thank you for your many blessings in my life. The things that I might take for granted and not notice as significant blessing over what many might not have in this world. I thank you for those. God, give me faith to go throughout today. Give me strength. Give me wisdom for the tasks that I am confronted with. These are what might feel like mundane prayers, but man, those are powerful prayers, and that is a beautiful fragrance to God, that you would stop what you're doing, turn to your Lord and Savior and say, be a part of this day. So I just want to ask you before we move on to the next thing that we see about incense, I just want to ask you, consider your own life tonight. How well am I keeping a regular incense before God in my prayers? Are you adding to it multiple times a day in the morning? Are you adding to it in the evening? Are you adding to it? Is it continued, or is the wick going out? Right? Has the train of smoke that is your prayers stopped here and there? Are there big gaps between when they go up before God? The incense that we see in the Old Testament was to never go out. The priest would regularly add to it that the smoke would never stop going up to God. And now we see in God's word that our prayers are to be like incense before God. May we never let that wick go out. May we always be regularly, continually praying, and in doing so, communing with the God of this universe and of all creation. The second thing that we see that incense was used for was not only for everyday worship, but also on special occasions. This is the one that we're not always talking about in the Old Testament, but it's just as significant. Leviticus chapter 16, starting in verse 11, a few things I want to say before we read this verse, and we'll just read it quickly. This is the context here. This is talking about the orders given to Aaron on the Day of Atonement. That one day a year that I mentioned before earlier, where you would have to enter the Holy of Holies. The other 364 days a year, it was to never be walked into. But the one day that it was to be entered, only one priest would go in to the Holy of Holies to offer a special sacrifice. One time a year. That was it. And that's what Leviticus 16 is talking about. And what was inside? It was the Ark of the Covenant, which was God's dwelling place at that time, with the mercy seat of God sitting on top of it, where he would literally sit and dwell. Before I read this text, I want us to think about the weight of that. How flippant we can be with the presence of God. But that priest, I can only imagine walking into such a dangerous, dangerous atmosphere for a sinner that he was, to walk into the perfect, pure presence of God would be a very dangerous venture. So much so that I can only imagine that, this is speculation, this is Isaac, this isn't scripture. I can just imagine, though, that he would probably kiss his wife before he left the house that morning. The Day of Atonement has come. Kisses his wife goodbye. One misstep in the pure presence of God. We do know that they would tie ropes around the priest to where if they did die, because they did make a misstep in the perfect presence of the holy God, they would have to pull that dead body out. Okay, so that's how serious the Holy of Holies is. Let's not be flippant with the incredible presence of God here. I just think about, like, I went on a trip one time to Ireland and Scotland, and I went to the Cliffs of Moher. Have you ever heard of the Cliffs of Moher? It's just this incredible cliff that just looks down into the sea. And many people have died. Actually, I just Googled it before we started here. And it said within a certain time span of like 10 or 15 years, I can't remember what it was, 66 people have fallen off the cliffs. Just someone did last year. And so this isn't like a new thing where they're like, oh, we have to put up some precautionary stuff. No, this is like still happening regularly. Because there are no guardrails. It's just kind of like walk at your own risk to as close as you want to the edge of the cliffs, and then you just fall. I mean, it's a beautiful sight. You should look it up. Not the falling part, the cliffs part. Look it up, the Cliffs of Moher. It's incredible on Google Images. Okay, so I went there, and I remember it wasn't a beautiful day, right? I was excited for like taking a bunch of just scenic pictures. And the day that I went, it was just storming. But how many times do you get to go to the Cliffs of Moher? So I went anyway, even though I couldn't take any picture. The fog had kind of come in, and so you really couldn't see that far out. And the rain was just going sideways, but I had to stand there for a little bit. And I remember walking with my family, and my littler siblings, they weren't allowed to get near there. They had to stay by the bus. And I remember walking up with my dad and my brother, and we were walking. My dad was like, be careful. And no sooner than he said that, I slipped on the wet grass, and I fell on my butt. And I was only about 5 to 10 feet away from the edge. When you look up those Google images, that's going to be that much more significant of what I just said. And it just, the raw danger that I felt at that moment. My heart dropped, right? Because as soon as you slip and fall, you feel like you're right there by the edge. Even though I still had another 10 feet or something, I just felt like I'm going, right? And then whenever I'm sitting there, it just kind of like, that just happened. And so I slowly get back up. Just the absolute raw danger and the power of what would have happened if I just took one misstep. And that's a lot like what the Holy of Holies was. And I can only imagine that. Just that much more, of course. This is what it was like for the priests. And so that gives us some context. This is what Aaron was to do on the Day of Atonement, one day a year, to walk into that dangerous room. This is what it says, Leviticus 16. Aaron shall kill the bull as a sin offering for himself so that he can have entry into it without just being struck dead right there. And he shall take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord and two handfuls of sweet incense, beaten small, and he shall bring it inside the veil. Okay, so he has this almost like a lantern-looking thing with smoke coming up, and he's walking into it, and that's where the incense is going. And put the incense on the fire before the Lord, so that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is over the testimony, so that he does not die. Did you catch that? So he walks into this small room, completely enclosed. The smoke starts to go everywhere. And you would think, oh, what a nuisance. No, that's what saved the man. The incense covered the mercy seat of God. Why? It says very clearly, so that Aaron wouldn't die. So now we have to ask, okay, what in the world does that have to do with our prayers? In life and death moments, that was certainly a life and death moment, the Day of Atonement, to walk into such a dangerous room. And in that life and death moment, incense is what saved that man. It says it right there in Leviticus 16:13. In the same way, in life and death moments, prayers can have life-saving powers. And that's not just Isaac, that's not just speculation. Look at Luke chapter 1 with me. You might know the story. This is where Zechariah is decided that he's going to go into the tabernacle and to worship. And this is what it says, Luke 1:8. Now while Zechariah was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord, not tabernacle, sorry, the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Okay, so he was to go in the daily activity. Now, is that where, yeah, keep going. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. That's in this room, okay? This holy place, not the Holy of Holies. And he's standing there by the altar of incense, verse 12, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. How could it not, right? We keep going. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Now, this wasn't the Day of Atonement. This was just an everyday where he's just replacing the incense that it wouldn't stop going up before God, right? It was either the morning or the evening because it was at the hour of incense where the people were praying, and it doesn't say, was it the morning one or the evening one? We don't know, but it was an everyday type of priest was going in. He was just doing his duty and replacing the incense that it wouldn't go out, and he was in this room, not in the Holy of Holies. No danger, right? You would feel, okay, well, it's not as dangerous. But then an angel of the Lord, a messenger, a representative for God from the heavenly throne room comes down and he shows himself before Zechariah. And now all of a sudden, it is as if he's in that room. Now all of a sudden, he wasn't expecting it. He didn't kiss his wife goodbye. He didn't wrap a rope around his waist. He didn't hold the lantern full of incense that it would cover him. And he is terrified. He is terrified. Because now it is almost as if it's the Day of Atonement, him standing in there before God. This is a messenger of God. This is a representative for God. And the messenger says, "Zechariah, don't be afraid." But he doesn't say it's because the incense that you don't have, right? He doesn't say it's because that has surrounded you and saved you. He says, "No, don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard." So in such a life and death experience in the temple, it wasn't the incense that saved Zechariah. It was his prayers that surrounded him. And God would said, "Your life," through the angel, said, "Your life is spared. Your prayers have saved you." So what does this teach us about prayer? Incense that can save a life teaches us that prayer can do big things too. Our prayers are like the incense of the Old Testament, right? And we know that the incense of the Old Testament was not only a continuational thing going up all the time, but incense was also what saved a person in a life and death experience in the temple. Our prayers not only are to go up before God regularly, but they are also what can save us in life and death moments. Prayer is powerful. This is what I would call big prayers, right? These are big prayers. This is where it can save a life. This is where it can heal a child. This is where it can kill cancer. This is where it can change the prognosis. This is where it can change the marriage. These are life and death, special occasion, desperate prayers. I'll say a few big prayers here in the Bible. Sarah prayed to open her womb at the age of 90. It's a big prayer. Big prayers have great power. Hezekiah's prayer was for healing, and God not only healed him, but extended his life 15 years in the midst of a terminal illness. Big prayers have a great power. Elijah's prayer was to stop rain for 3.5 years. Big prayers have great power. Abraham's prayer was for mercy to be poured out on an entire city, multiple cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. Big prayers have great power. They're rare occasions, right? They're not the everyday prayers. We're not talking about everyday prayers. Moses' prayer was not only for multiple cities, but was that the wrath of God would be turned from the entire nation of Israel. Big prayers have great power. So I want to ask you again, not about the continuation of your prayer life, but what big prayers do you have to pray right now? And I want to even ask a very honest question that I want you to consider. Have you given up on the power of such a big prayer that it would actually make such a big difference? Have you grown so used to your condition, your prognosis, the condition of your marriage, that you kind of just put that big prayer to the side? Would you see the Word of God? And would you reignite a belief that that prayer, you shouldn't put it aside, go pick that prayer up, and you start praying that prayer because big prayers have great power. Our God is listening. He cares. He responds. And so I just want to encourage you, call out to Him tonight and tomorrow and all the days to come. Call out to Him and plead with Him. Do not lose hope. Learn from the experiences of Zechariah Sarah, Elijah, Moses, Abraham, big prayers have power. Our God is just as active. So I want to finish with this. Your prayers do matter, big ones and small ones, the special ones, special occasion ones, and the daily ones. Old Testament incense teaches us that some prayers should be prayed daily, right? Offered up to God all the time. And those have significance. They connect us to God. They are a joy for Him to receive every day. Don't let the mundane feeling of those everyday prayers trick you into thinking they're insignificant. They're not. And Old Testament incense teach us that some prayers, they only come around once in a while, but they're a big deal, and they're life-changing. Don't give up on that big prayer, no matter how long you've been praying it. These are life and death prayers, and they can make a massive deal. They can change the prognosis. They can change the marriage. They can change your condition. They can change the weather. Oh, I just pray that right now, even if your belief in prayer has kind of just simmered and maybe even the coal has went out, all would it just spark a flame because of the Word of God tonight, and that you would just believe, not only somewhat believe, but man, you would just be excited and say, could this preacher just get done to where I can get on my hands and knees and start praying? I hope that is what's kindling in you right now, a belief in the power of prayer because of God's Word has sparked that in your heart. So would you pray both of these prayers tonight? If you have a big need, I encourage you to pray a big prayer to a big God tonight, because that prayer could save a life, it could save a marriage, it could save yours. Your big prayers matter and they're heard. We're going to have a song in just a minute. I'm going to pray. I want to encourage you, take that time. You can find a place here. There's nothing special about this. You don't have to. You can stay in the seat, but man, if you feel so led and you feel a tug on your heart, don't sit in that seat. Can I just say that? If you feel that tug on your heart, you just say, okay, I just have to make that proclamation in front of everybody by walking. Would you do that and just find a place? We have one song, but don't let that stop you. Pray that big prayer that maybe you have given up praying. And if you don't have a big prayer, you certainly do have regular, everyday prayers that you could be praying. We all do. Make those prayers tonight, prayers of worship, of thanksgiving, of adoration. Just saying, wow, God, I'm just amazed. And that's maybe all you've got, and just say, God, I'm amazed by you. I just see you, and you are so good. We all have a prayer to pray tonight. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you, God, for who you are. Knowing who you are gives us a confidence to come before you, to kneel on our knees and just put our requests before you, knowing that you hear them, you care for them, your heart is pulled for us, and you love your children, and you want to give us what is good. And so, Lord, we bring our requests before you today because we know who you are, and we know your word, God. It calls us to do that. So, Lord, we do that in obedience and in faith. Would you hear our prayers? It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you feel so led,